God, just right here at the beginning of 2018, we want to just lift the year up to you. God, we give you this year, our hearts, our lives. Would you help us grow? Would you help us connect with each other, with you? God, would you teach us tonight what it means to be able to fight against temptation and have victory in our life? And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, too. We could have a good start to the year together. God, sometimes it's hard to be motivated. Sometimes it's hard to keep pressing on. Would you give us courage? Would you give us strength? And would you help us to tackle the new year together as friends, arm in arm, living our lives toward you? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, tonight we're starting a new series called Tempted. How not to get caught in sin is the basic idea. But I wanted to start off with a story for you guys. So if you take a look at the next slide here, the theme for tonight is altitude. As we talk about temptations, we talk about sin, I want you to think about this word altitude. If you look up at the screen, you can see an altimeter up there on the left is lets a plane know how high that it's flying, right? So you want the plane to be flying high, correct? What happens if the altimeter is at zero? You're on the ground. What if it's below zero? You crashed into something, right? Yeah, okay, bad. So if you look at the airplane in the picture, it's flying up high in the sky, up above the clouds like it's supposed to, right? But as we think about this, the inside of you is also an altimeter, a way to gauge where you're at. How is your life flying is kind of the idea we're going to go with. So I want to read you a story about a flight. Okay, this is a true story of the flight 401 in December of 1972. 4 days after Christmas, families were traveling home from the holiday, visits with loved ones and whatnot. Despite the busy season, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 had only 163 passengers and a crew of 13. Only 73 of the 176 people on board would live to see the new year. Flight 401 left New York's John F. Kennedy Airport at 9:20 p.m. All was routine until the plane reached Miami International Airport at 11:32 p.m. and the co-pilot lowered the landing gear. That's when it happened. The little green light didn't go on. A little green light that is a simple indicator letting pilots know that the landing gear is down. The fact that the light wasn't on can mean only one of two things. Either the landing gear isn't down, or the little green light isn't working. This usually wasn't a big deal. It had happened on other flights. Pilots routinely recycled the landing gear, giving it another try. Still, no green light. The captain called the tower. They would delay the landing to figure out the problem. The tower instructed the plane to climb to 2,000 feet and fly west over the Everglades. Meanwhile, the crew removed the light assembly. The flight engineer climbed down to see if he could catch a glimpse of the landing gear. He hoped that by peering through the small viewing window in the avionics bay, that he'd be able to see whether the gear was down. If it was, they'd know it was just a bad light bulb and not a landing gear malfunction. When the plane reached 2,000 feet, the co-pilot engaged the autopilot. About 80 seconds later, the captain accidentally bumped the plane out of autopilot, much the same as a tap on the brakes bumps your car out of cruise control. It's possible the pilot accidentally switched modes while leaning against the steering column when he turned to talk to a crew member. Regardless of how it happened, the autopilot switched to CWS mode, control wheel steering. In this mode, small adjustments by the pilot are noted by the autopilot, altering the plane's course. Even a small tilt of the wheel is saved and executed by the autopilot. In this case, tiny forward pressure on the steering column caused the plane to start descending gradually into the dark Everglades. The descent was so gradual that no one felt it. And because of the darkness, the pilot and the co-pilot never realized that they were descending. The plane dropped hundreds of feet before a chime went off. The altitude warning chime is located under the engineer's workstation. but the engineer was below deck trying to see if the landing gear. When investigators listened to the cockpit recording afterward, the pilot and co-pilot gave no indication of having heard the chime. The plane was headed toward the ground, and no one knew it. After all, they were distracted by the urgent problem of this light bulb and they failed to concentrate on what was truly important, flying the plane. Eventually, the co-pilot took the controls to start another turn. At this point, he noticed the discrepancy, and the cockpit recordings reflect this. Co-pilot said, "We did something to the altitude." "What?" said the pilot. "We're still at 2,000 feet, right? Hey, what's happening here?" It was too late. The plane was flying at 227 miles per hour when it hit the ground nearly 19 miles from the airport. When the main body of the plane hit, it slid through the grass and water and disintegrated as it went. 94 passengers and 5 crew members died instantly. When the plane finally came to a stop, 75 people had survived. 2 burned out light bulbs, a $12 replacement expense, led to the tragic crash. When investigators examined the plane the next day, the landing gear was indeed in the down and locked position. Guys, it's crazy. True story of a real plane crash. Freaks me out a little bit because I just flew to Florida and back and at night. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you can bump out of autopilot that quickly and then not even notice your descent. But you guys, check this out. There is no autopilot for the Christian life. You can't just put your life on cruise control and expect good results. Because when we don't even realize it, sometimes we're in danger and we don't see the warning signs. Because some of you in this room, you're steering toward the darkness and you don't even know it. Or you know it, but you're deceiving yourself. You're pretending that you're not. You could be a Christian and still steer back toward the darkness, still steer toward sin, and you can flirt with disaster. Sometimes we go comfortable and we keep things in our lives that don't belong there. And even though we know they aren't right, when it's dark, it's impossible to see the warning signs. And in the darkness, we don't even notice that we're about to crash. Okay, so here's the question tonight. Is just kind of to start the new year off right, is how do you keep from sin? How do you keep from crashing your life? And we're going to take a look at what does the Bible have to say about that in Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, it says, "For once you are full of darkness, but now you have the light up from the Lord, so live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true, and carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." So if you're going to have a little heart check today and check your own altitude, here's the question. Have you been drifting toward the darkness in certain parts of your life? Because the darkness of sin and temptation can creep in, and we can not pay attention or we can miss the warning signs of it. But here, I wanted to give you a tool today to say, you know what, there's one specific way today that we're going to focus on that you could try to fight that and correct your flight path, and it's this. It's to set some goals. And you may have already opened up your paper and looked, but I don't want you to miss this. Setting short-term and medium-term and long-term goals regularly can help keep you from sin. A way to fight temptation, a way to not give in, is to regularly have goals that you're moving toward to help keep your life on track, you know? So I don't know all the areas that you might struggle in, but I put together some in your handout there. So here are the topics up on the paper, okay? To start with, one of the best things you can do to start the new year right is to get your spiritual life going in a good direction. So your spiritual life, set some short-term, medium-term, long-term goals for that. Time with God or prayer, Bible, time in the Word, worship, and obviously trying to avoid from some sin. That's a great section to work on, okay? The next one, maybe it's your academic life. Maybe your grades are really suffering right now. So maybe you set some goals for school, for studying, for homework, for your grades. Now, let me give you an example. Goals that are good are specific and measurable and attainable. Okay? Specific, measurable, and attainable. So if you wanted to get an A in a class, that's the long-term end goal. You got to do a lot of short-term and medium-term goals in between there if you want to get a good grade at the end of the quarter, end of the semester, right? Which means turning in your homework. It might mean taking time out on the weekends to spend some time doing projects, things like that. How about social life? Maybe you've got some goals for friendships or for your entertainment or activity choices, how you spend your social time. Maybe it's the amount or the quantity. So you're like, you know what? I watch 6 hours of Netflix. Maybe you need to cut that back, okay? And you allow yourself to watch one episode instead of one season, okay? Are you with me? But like setting some goals, and then you have some people ask you about it. Like, hey, how much Netflix did you watch today? Okay. And then, you know, and then maybe they check in with you later. How much did you watch this week? Or maybe it's something different than that. Maybe it's family life. So family life is on there. Maybe you have some goals regarding how you treat your parents, or how you treat your siblings, your relatives, or just stuff that goes on at home. Maybe it's your chores. Maybe it's your attitude at home. And then your private life. A lot of people like to hide in the darkness or hide and not expose what's going on in their heart and in their life. So maybe you've got some bad habits in your private life. Maybe there's secrets or issues of, you know, maybe you're looking at stuff on the internet that you shouldn't be, or maybe you're secretly harming your body, or maybe you've got some other thing going on with your sexuality, or maybe it's your integrity. And so you set some short-term, medium-term, long-term goals about that. So let me give you an example. If you're in a dating relationship, it'd be a great idea to set some goals together. Individual goals and maybe some goals as a couple. So if you want to stay pure, then you probably shouldn't lay down together with the lights off. Just giving you an example, okay? If you want to stay pure, then perhaps you should get together with other people and not just be alone all the time. If you struggle with the internet, then perhaps you need to put the computer out in a public space in your home so you're not privately looking at it in some room of the house. Or maybe you need to ask your parents to tighten down the filter on the Wi-Fi so that you don't have access to as much stuff that you shouldn't be. Or maybe you need to give up your phone for a month. You need to give up your device because it's causing you to fly toward the ground, crash eventually, right? Here's the thing. Most people don't just all of a sudden have a giant sin in their life. It's usually a small little bit of compromise over time, and they give in. They see an image, and then they weren't planning it, just kind of showed up, and then they go seeking those images, and then they go, and then, you know, the full-blown looking at pornography or something. Or maybe it's smaller, like drugs or alcohol. You know, your friend let you try a drink or, you know, a cigarette, and then before you know it, you were doing it because you wanted to look cool, and then you started to get hooked on it, and then it started to affect you, and you liked how it made you feel, and then later you realized that, oh gosh, now I can't live without it, and now you're looking for the next fix, the next high, whatever, and you've got a real problem. So set some goals that might help you. Thought life is another one. On there. Maybe you wrestle with lust or fantasies, or maybe your thought life issue is your self-image and you're constantly evaluating and comparing yourself. Or maybe it's just negative thoughts. You have dark, dark thoughts about life, about yourself, about other people. Or maybe it's your physical health. That's a struggle for me because when I'm stressed, I eat. So eating becomes a source of relief and pleasure. I like desserts. I like eating out at fast food, but that's not healthy for my body, right? And so for me, if I was going to fill this out, I would probably work on an exercise plan and a better eating schedule. You know, sometimes I just eat out because I didn't take the time to pack a lunch to bring to work or whatever. Or you're like, oh, I'll just do it this time. But then this time becomes every time. And then, you know, I'm eating how many gummy bears and pizza and whatever. And you know, before you know it, it's affecting my body. So maybe that's you. Maybe yours is an overeating. Maybe it's not eating enough. Maybe you need to get on a routine where you're counting your calories in a good way so that you have enough nutrition because you're starving yourself too much. Or maybe it's just hygiene. Maybe you just suck at taking care of your own body. And so maybe your goal is, I'm going to get a shower every day, or I'm going to wear deodorant every day, or I'm going to put my contacts in, or I'm going to brush my teeth. You know what? I was just at ice camp with a whole bunch of middle schoolers, and I can tell you hygiene goals would be good, not just for our group, not just for our group, but for all the people I sat next to in the chapel. Yeah, you guys get the idea. Or maybe it's medication. Maybe you don't take your meds, and you should. Or maybe you take too much meds, and you need to cut back. I don't know what your issues are, but physical health. And then the last one, emotional health. Maybe you wrestle with anger, and you're just mad a lot, and you take that out on people. Or maybe it's depression, and especially in the winter, you get down, and you get discouraged, and you go to a dark place in your mind and in your heart, and maybe you need some hope, and maybe you write out some scriptures and you post them on your mirror, or you put them in your purse or on your wallet, or you have friends check in with you and like, hey, how is your outlook on life today? Because I don't want you to get too down. Are you with me? Or maybe it's anxiety, or fear, or worry. If I'm honest, those have taken over me lately. Like, I can get worried about stuff, and I can be anxious about stuff, and I need God's perspective to calm me down and help me focus. Maybe that's you. And so maybe you write down some goals about your thinking patterns. Does that make sense? So I'm just going to give you the next 10 minutes, and here's what I'm hoping. There's a lot there. Pick two categories. Pick two that you think you need the most help with right now. Okay, I don't expect you to fill out the entire page, but take it home, and maybe over time this week you could fill it all out. Start with two categories you feel like you need some work on this year. Question? Yes, you can totally fill them all out, but I didn't want to overwhelm people. And here's the thing. If I try to fix 10 areas of my life, I'll end up doing none of them because it's too overwhelming. But if I focus on one or two, I have a better chance of success. Again, good goals are specific and measurable and attainable. So if you're hooked on drugs and your goal is, I want to be drug-free by the end of the week, that's not realistic. That's not attainable because they have a power over you. You're going to have to wean yourself off. Does that make sense? If you have an addiction to whatever it is, those things take more time. So plan your goals accordingly. It's a good goal to be drug-free, but make goals that you can reach. Like, hey, I'm not going to do anything today, or I'm not going to do anything for the next 7 days, and then I'll check in with a friend. If you're trying to write a goal for, like, spiritual life, and you're like, I want to spend more time with God, that's not a good goal. It's not specific. It's not measurable. So say, I want to spend time with God 3 times this week, and I want to read Philippians 2. Like, be really specific about it. Take the next 10 minutes and write down some goals. Okay, you guys, check this out. Setting goals is good, but if all we do is set goals tonight and go home and then not work on them, it's not helpful. So the idea was, if you want to have victory over temptation in your life, setting goals is a good way to get some footing on being able to avoid sin that way. So let me urge you, share your goals with some people in your life, perhaps in your life group later tonight, or maybe with some friends or family members at home. And then don't just forget it. Work on it. And God will reward you, I'm sure. God, if I'm honest, I don't like setting goals because I end up feeling pressure to do them, and then sometimes I don't follow through. But God, you know what? You want us to be men and women of God who follow you. And part of fighting sin in our life and avoiding temptations is to have good people in our life asking us tough questions about goals that we've written. So God, would you help these teenagers move toward, you know, one or two of the topics in that book, that they could have victory even today or this week or this month over some of the things that they wrote down. God, would you give them the courage to do it? Would you give them the strength to do it? Would you give them the self-discipline to do it? And would you help them to lean on you? God, left to ourselves, we're going to mess up and screw up and sin a whole bunch. But God, with your spirit, with your strength, with Christ in us, we can have victory and we can overcome. We can be better people. You help us to lean on you and to lean on each other. In Jesus' name.